I want to encourage you to have your Bible out this morning as we study and take a look at what God's Word has to say, especially a message to the young people, but God's Word speaks to all of us, and any time it is opened, we need to be attentive to what it has to say. Open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're actually going to start in chapter 11, verse 9, and then work our way into chapter 12 and verse 1. We had good preaching on Friday night and Saturday morning. We had good singing. But it is a blessing for all of God's singers to come together and to hear our voices blended together and our hearts blended together as we praise our God in song. We have had a good weekend. Several comments have been made regarding that in our class and the well-worded prayer just a moment ago. And we're going to continue to recall some things that Brother Jason Harden has brought to our attention over the last couple of days as we get into our study this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 at verse 9 says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" The Bible tells us that the days of one's youth are a time to rejoice, and there's plenty to rejoice about in one's youth. The energy of this age, it seems, is endless. The opportunities are boundless. The future looks bright. It is a most exciting time of life, and the Bible tells us to enjoy it. However, the Bible also issues the warning that we must not abandon God in doing so. Because just as certain as the days of our youth are full of joy, so also certain is the day of judgment coming upon us. There is a judgment that we all must face. And there are some choices that are made in the days of one's youth that will bring sorrow upon one. Not just in this life, but also in the life which is to come. And because of this, those who are young are admonished to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Who are we told to remember? The passage doesn't say, "Remember your God," although we know that's who Solomon is talking about. It doesn't say to remember your Heavenly Father. It doesn't say to remember your Savior. It says remember your Creator. And as we look at our God as our Creator, we are reminded of the fact that we are not the latest product in a mindless track process of evolution. That we are not a mistake. That we are not the result of natural forces in action. We are created in the image of God. We are created for a purpose. So to refer to God as our Creator brings that to the forefront of our mind. That we have been made in God's image and we have been made for a purpose. The word Creator implies in it authority. That God has authority. God does have the right to bring us into judgment, as the text says. God has the right to tell us how to live, to expect us to live that way, and to punish us when we don't. And youth does not excuse one from this authority of God. In Romans chapter 9, verses 20 and 21, "But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Does not the potter have power over the clay?"
See, when we refer to God as our Creator, when we are directed toward God as our Creator, that should be the first thing that comes to mind. That God made us in His image, and God has authority to tell us how we are to live our life. So yes, we must remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Now that word remember, is much richer and much deeper than the idea of occasionally your mind needs to remember, oh yeah, God's real. You see a sunset, oh yeah, God made that, that's beautiful, and then go on. Or you see a flower, God made that, the changing of this, oh yeah, yeah, God's there. No, remember your Creator every moment of your life. To remember our Creator is to fashion our lives, to learn to live our life every moment of every day in light of the fact that we are God's creation. In light of the fact that He has made us for a reason, for a purpose, to seek His will, to follow it, to glorify Him in all that we do because He is our Creator, because He has made us. Remember your Creator when? In the days of your youth. Now at this point in time, I would like to hit the pause button. And I would like to step aside and address everyone. If you're here and you're not a young person, don't put me on mute. Don't tune this out. The things that we are going to look at are things that I know you will understand the importance of. Here's something else, very important, I want you to understand. If you're here this morning, and you're here because you're wanting to come to God, you've reached a point in your life where you realize you need to come to God, that God needs to be in your life, but you're not in the stage of life that you would consider your youth. I do not want you to have the idea that it's too late for you to come to God. It's never too late for you to come to God. At the 11th hour, one can come unto God if they bring faith and obedience unto Him. This sermon is not to discourage anyone. I hope that I'm talking to a room full of people that understand this message is directed to a particular age group, but that God is the God of all mankind, and that God would save anyone who would come to Him at any time. We're going to end this morning. We will end. And we're going to end in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, which says, today is the day of salvation. That has no age stipulation on it at all. So, please understand that. This sermon is preached to a particular segment, but God's invitation for salvation is always open to everyone. Now, let's turn it off, pause, and let's go forward. Why the days of our youth? Remember our Creator in the days of our youth. This time that is to be enjoyed, this time in which we're to rejoice and to cheer our hearts. Why does God need to be worked into that? Why do I need to take that time of my life and devote it to God and to seek God? I want to give you four reasons for that this morning. Number one, because, believe it or not, the days of your youth belong to God. God is not satisfied with the scraps. He's not satisfied with the leftover, the part of your life that you don't enjoy anymore. I would just give that to God. God made it all. He deserves it all. The days of your youth belong to God. It's not something to be put off until later. We're not to purposely put off obeying the gospel so we can sow some wild oats. And then I'll come back to God later on. No. We should understand the foolishness of that. Any day you want to pick up the Dayton Daily News, Turn to the obituary and you'll find someone your age or close to it who has died. Death is no respecter of persons. People who are young die all the time. And those who die who have not sought the Lord, they're not prepared for their judgment. And they've died without hope. Our youth belongs to God. In Psalm 90 is a psalm that records a prayer of Moses. So it is a very old psalm. Psalm 90, verses 10 through 11 says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years." Now, if you're in the days of your youth, that sounds like it's a lifetime away. I've talked to people that age and older who say, it comes very quickly. It passes very quickly. But we have a lifespan. We have a certain amount of time that we can all reasonably expect that we will be here. But their labor, their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. And who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Learning to number our days is learning to realize we only have so much time and we're supposed to make every bit of it count. Every bit of it, including the years of our youth. That needs to be lived for God. That needs to be given to God. We need to be able to live our life in such a way we can look back at our track record and see we've always been living for God. That belongs to God. It is His. If we will number our days, if we'll realize the value of our time, we will have gained a heart of wisdom. The energy, the excitement, the innocence of youth all belong to God. And they're to be used to His glory and by His will. As we open the Scriptures, we read of young Joseph, who saved his family after he was sold into Egypt by putting God first. Samuel, who was dedicated to serving the Lord as a very young child. King Josiah, who reformed the nation as a child king. Jeremiah began his work as a very young man. Daniel and his three friends in Babylonian captivity, standing up for God in their youth. Timothy, a trusted companion of the Apostle Paul as a very young man. There's room in God's kingdom for those who are very young. You find your place in the local church. Youth is an undistracted time. It's a time when there should not be any stresses. It always amazes me to hear young people talk about how stressed they are. Do you hear the response coming from the adults? If you're stressed now, what are you going to do when marriage comes along? And child one, two, three, and more. When you have the responsibility of taking care of a family. You have a responsibility at a job. You have a responsibility in your home, in your neighborhood. Now is a time when you are undistracted. You need to be devoting that time to God and giving Him these years in your life, and learning now to put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's not something for old people. That's something for you, young person. Put God first. Why remember God in the days of your youth? Because those days belong to God. They belong to God. And you'll give an answer for how you've lived your youth. Secondly, you need to turn your attention toward God in the days of your youth because it is the formative time of your life. It is during the days of your youth that you are being prepared for launch. Think about that rocket ship. Think about that space shuttle down Camp Canaveral down in Florida as it's preparing to blast off. Preparations are being made. The trajectory of that blast off is being calculated, being put into the computers, so that when they get the green light and everything is a go, they can blast off and it's going to go in the right direction. That's what's happening with you in your life right now in your youth. You're being prepared for blast off. What direction are you going to go? Do you realize that in your youth is when that foundation is being laid? When those priorities and those goals and those values are being formed in your heart and your mind that is going to direct the path that your life is going to take? But if you don't seek God now, what kind of a flight path are you going to have? What are you going to have to go through in order to get back to God? A very difficult life indeed. No, remember your Creator now. Establish the right priorities. Set the right goals. Acquire godly habits. Learn to do more than just read your Bible every day. Learn how to study your Bible. Learn how to study it. How to take a passage of Scripture, understand the context in which it's found, understand the meaning, understand the application to your life today. Learn how to do that now. Learn how to pray, young people. When was the last time you prayed unto God? Not you bowed your head and you were silent while someone else led a prayer. When was the last time, young person, you opened your heart to your Creator in prayer? Learn to do that now. Establish that habit now. Get involved in the work of the local church now. You want to see five men get very happy? As a young person, talk to your parents about this and then approach the elders and say, I want to do something here. And you'll see five grown men get very happy and very excited about using you as you can be used in the work of the church here. Get involved. Get in the habit of being involved in the local church. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals, good habits, depending on your translation. Learn now what kind of people make the best friends. You're not always going to be able to choose the people that you are around, but in your youth, learn what makes a good friend and find those people. And when you found that kind of a person, you form that friendship and you treasure it. And you're going to be in the world and you're going to be around worldly people. You're going to have to learn how to have that association and how to influence them without them influencing you. And that's something that adults struggle with learning how to do. You're going to have to learn how to do it too. But learn who your companions should be. Learn it now. Learn it now. Listen to your parents. Listen to those who love you, who are a little bit further along in life than you are, and know. Have those good companions. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12 and at verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. That's our goal, to be with God, to reunite with Him. Sin has separated us from Him. We want to reunite with Him. That's where our trajectory should be. The only way we're going to get there is if we pursue peace with all people and holiness. Let that be your standard now in your youth. Establish it, and it will serve you well. It will serve you well. Decide right now that you are going to dress modestly, not immodestly. That's your standard now. Before the new fashions come out next year, you've already established how you are going to dress, how you're not going to dress, your involvement in worldly activities and sinful entertainment. There's some things you're just not going to do. You're establishing that now in your youth. Drugs and alcohol, that's not for you. Sex is something that is saved for marriage. Not for dating, not for engagement, for marriage. And you decide that now and live by it. Decide also what kind of person you're going to marry. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You decide now in your youth the kind of person that you want to be married to. And then find that person. Don't settle for the first thing that comes along. You're looking for Mr. Right. Not Mr. Right now. Decide who to marry. What kind of person to marry. You stick to your guns. And you find that person. Remember God in the days of your youth. That's the formative time of your life. Some of the most important decisions made in life are made in your youth. And if you'll make these right decisions, you'll get the trajectory, the coordinates plugged in to your heart now. It'll serve you well in life. Why remember God in the days of our youth? In order to avoid the pitfalls of life. What is a pitfall? A pitfall is a trap. It's a hole, it's a snare, it's something that we get caught in and caught up on, and it causes us to stumble and to fall. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's been cursed by sin, and so there are pitfalls aplenty in this world. Your parents have been trying to warn you about these things. Your grandparents, Bible class teachers, other adults who care about you and love you have been trying to call your attention to these things. There are things out there that can trip you up. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, remember his young helper, writes to him and tells him, flee also youthful lust. There are things that are youthful lust. Lust or desires, things that would get our attention, that we would crave, that we would chase after. Now, there are some things that affect all of us of all age, some things that affect those who are older, some things that especially are a problem for those who are younger. Those of us who are older, who have gone through our youth, can look back and say, yeah, I had a problem with that. Now I've got a problem in some other areas. But those are youthful lusts. Let me tell you about these lusts, whether they're in the days of our youth, middle age, old age. These are like lures that Satan uses to cast out there and dangle in front of us in hopes that we'll take the bait. And when we do, he's got us. When you see these things, you turn and flee. You get away from them. You don't play with them. You don't get as close as you can to them. You stay far away from them. Addiction. We're living in a day and time, all I have to do is say the word addiction, and I believe an image or an idea has come to the forefront of all of our minds. If we're not personally involved with someone who battles addiction, we're not very far removed from it in our society today. Addiction is when you're given over to something to the point that you don't want to exercise self-control over it. You're given over to something to the point that it has taken you over. And there are many things that are addictive. Many things that are addictive. Drugs are addictive. Many people become addicted to drugs, whether it be your recreational drugs, your harder drugs, prescription drugs, they're addictive. Stay away from them. Alcohol is addictive. I grew up in the home of an alcoholic. I know what Miller Time is all about. I have yet to see the beer commercial that shows the truth. It's terrible. It's addictive. Nicotine, found in tobacco, is incredibly addictive. And the people who have to give up smoking have to work very hard at that to get away from that addiction. But it's not just chemicals that are addictive. There are behaviors that are addictive as well. Gambling is addictive to some people. They get that rush, they get that excitement. Pretty soon they've lost everything. because they've got to revisit that rush. They've got to get it back again. Pornography is addictive. That's a lure that Satan has, and he's captured many hearts with it. Not just men, women as well. The excitement that is there. Our hearts can become addicted to these things. Listen to me. You know the best way to handle these things? The best way to keep from becoming an addict? Never touch the stuff. Never touch it. It's poison. You leave it alone. Flee. You get away. Run away from those things. That's what wisdom says. Involvement in these kinds of things, or sometimes just being in the company of those who are involved in these things, can bring misery upon us in this life as well as into eternity. Sin may appear to be delightful. It has that appearance that there is pleasure. But Hebrews 11 verse 25, Moses realized that it was passing pleasure of sin. And he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God over the passing pleasure of sin. Yes, it appears to have pleasure there, but Acts chapter 8 and verse 23 says that sin has a binding power. The Apostle Peter told Simon the sorcerer, "I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." You get out there in the days of your youth and sow some wild oats and experiment with some things. Pretty soon you're addicted to something. And you spend the rest of your life fighting that addiction. That's not the way God created you to live. That's not the way God created anyone to live. A struggling addict. We would want you to avoid that pitfall. We would want you to stay as far away from that as you can. Psalm 119 and at verse 9. Psalm 119 and at verse 9 asks the question, how can a young man cleanse his way? Remember, life is full of pitfalls. They're out there. Satan has put the traps all over. How can you cleanse a young person? How can you cleanse your way? Clear out those pitfalls, so that you can walk safely through your youth, through your life, by taking heed according to your word. By opening up the Bible, looking at what it has to say about living life, and doing it, listening to it, following it. That's what your people who love you the most have been trying to get you to see and to understand. In Proverbs chapter 3, we looked at Proverbs a lot yesterday and the day before. It has a lot to say about the way we live our life. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being caught. If you'll listen to what God's Word has to say, that will clear the path before you. Will keep your foot from being caught. But only if you do what it says. Only if you do what it says. Why do you need to give your life to God now to make it through the days of your youth without falling and without stumbling? And finally, why should you remember God in your youth? Why should you give Him your life now? In order to develop and maintain a good reputation and a good example. Proverbs 22 and verse 1 is a verse that was looked at a number of times earlier this weekend. Proverbs 22 verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. our name, our reputation, our influence is more valuable than all the money of the world, because there are some things money can't buy. Money can buy power. Money can buy service. Money can buy notoriety. But money cannot buy a good name, a good character. That's a lifetime in the making, and it's just one click of the mouse away from being destroyed. That's how fragile it is. That's how strong it is, but at the same time, that's how fragile it is. Our reputation will serve us well in exercising a good influence upon those around about us. Remember what I said a few moments ago. God uses young people. God uses young people all the time. He always has, and He always will. But He can only use you if your light is shining. Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. These verses we're going to look at in more detail this afternoon in our 3 o'clock service. But Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Why do I need to give my youth unto God? Because God can use my youth as a way of reaching other people. Listen to me. You've got your whole world, whole life in front of you. You can do and accomplish so many great things. But I promise you, there is no greater purpose that your life will ever serve than for you to lead someone else to Christ. You will not accomplish anything better with any lasting benefit than that. There's no greater purpose for your life than to lead others to Christ. And there's no greater curse that you can be upon your fellow man than to live in such a way that you lead people away from God. That you lead them away from their Savior. Young people, listen to me. Why do you need to remember God in the days of your youth? Because life does not have a reset button. Life doesn't have a start over button. That's what I like about those video games. You get started in a game and it's not going so well. You've already lost several of your lives and all. You just reach down and hit that button. You can start all over again. That's not life. We have one life. We need to listen to what our Creator says, and from the very beginning, we need to live our life the way He tells us to. In Galatians, at chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul writes and says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." You're going to reap what you sow. If you sow sin in your youth, you're going to spend the rest of your life reaping that. You may be forgiven of your sin, but you're still going to sow the consequences of those sins in this life. Those who love you the most want your trajectory to be straight. Want you to fly in such a way that they can be pleased, they can be honored, they can be at peace, knowing how you live your life. That's why your parents stay on you. That's why the people who love you the most aggravate you about the choices that you're making and the things that you're doing. They've invested the most in you, save God. They have the right to expect good from you. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Maybe that needs to start for you this morning by obeying the gospel. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "Today is the day of salvation." So in your youth, if you're here and you're a young person, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and realize that you need to be saved of your sins, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Obey God now. Become a Christian now. Today is the day for you to act on that faith by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized in the Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. But I don't care how old you are. Today's the day you can be born again. Today is the day of salvation for you. Whatever your age, whatever your spiritual need, let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this song.